So here we are in the Song of Songs, and you know, it's been tremendous to feel how the heart of God, you know, it's one thing to come on the basis of our love and our passion and our spirituality and our dedication to the Lord. You know, we all many times, because we love God, we love Jesus. And so when we think about our relationship with the Lord, not for evil or purposes of selfishness, but just for whatever reason, we think about how much do I love him? You know, how committed am I? How spiritual am I? How loving am I? You know, it's natural, isn't it? It's natural. And we all do it. Probably because of the fall on one level, probably because we love him on another. Doesn't matter why, does it? But the greatest power in the, I don't want to say universe, but I'm sure Isaac can tell me there's universes and universes and universes and galaxies and solar systems and I don't know what. And that's just in the created realms, right? But in the all of everything that's everything, before it all. The greatest drawing power is his love, is God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they are the drawing power. What's in them and what they are, it's the gravity that pulls. It's the event horizon that takes a hold and you can't go back. You know, that isn't Christian commitment. That isn't the power of a strong-willed person. That isn't the spiritual force of a really governed individual. That's another being, bigger, so much bigger. And now I'm thinking about the class that was taught on the spiritual realities of, not Noah, but just, it was like a science class Randy taught, I forget the name. Realities Beyond the Scene, incredible God-given class, talks about this in much more clarity, but my gleanings, which won't be correct fully, but in spirit and heart is where I'm asking you to listen, that there are certain things, black holes, I'm not sure what they are. You can check with Isaac after class to get the correct, okay, and I suggest you do that, then listen to the course Randy taught and getting a bit more clarity, and then, you know, I don't know, go on the internet and find out. But we're going to go into the Lord to really find out. There are things that suck suns in. They are so powerful that they suck suns inside, you know. And when we get close enough, I remember there was one class in the Realities Beyond the Scene where it talked about the event horizon. And it blew my mind because I guess there's this point at a black hole. Like a black hole is this, whatever it is, it sucks everything into it. Yeah. And but you, there's a certain point where if any matter or a sun or maybe even a galaxy for the big size, I mean, if anything is close enough to this black hole, to this event horizon, there's a point of demarcation where if you get to that point, the pull, the gravity of the black hole, you can't go back. It just sucks you in to this point of singularity that is the most compact point known, brings you into oneness. Think about that now. That's just, doesn't it say all creation testifies of him? Okay, so think about that, you know, you are not at the event horizon yet, and all of your hopes and dreams and fears and worries are that you don't have enough love. So you're just like, you're taking a step in and then the world's pulling you two steps back. And you're taking a step in and then the devil pulls you three steps back. And then you're taking a step in and then your emotions and your crazy carnal mind pull you all the way over to yesterday and last week, maybe last year. Doesn't matter, because that's just us, right? We're just trying to draw near. The Bible says, draw near to me, right? And I will draw near to you. But if we just keep in our pitiful, not enough, not spiritual, not loving enough selves. But if we keep drawing near anyway, knowing we don't have what it takes, knowing it's not our love that's ever going to save the day, knowing that it's not our passion that's going to win the war, but we're just coming, just as we are. We're just at a certain point, if we keep looking at him instead of ourselves, if we keep forgetting about ourselves and all of our lack and all of the mistakes we make that pull us back and the steps backward and the tendencies to be pulled before we hit that event horizon, if we just keep coming anyway. I mean, that's the thing. It's like we think the Lord's upset with us because we got pulled away. But he's just going, hey, come on back again. You know, we're so concerned that we failed and we're pulled back and we're repenting and crying and going through. He doesn't care about that. The great to me, I feel what I see in the Word, you have to see. This is my opinion, which means nothing. But I'm just going to give you my opinion in humility. But I believe that he's not so concerned about the sin that pulled you back as much as that it's keeping you from him because you aren't just getting up and running back to him. I mean, remember, the lady in Ecclesiastes was a burnt-out disaster. You know, but she was, the prodigal son was the prodigal sin. And he was a mess. He had nothing. But he knew there was something beyond him, besides him, other than him, which is Jesus, the son. That was what it was all about. He was banking on something outside of himself, other than himself, right? So he kept walking. At any point, the prodigal could have taken a left turn and just went back to the world, back to the parties, back to the hog pen, right? At any point. The one thing he did was he just kept walking. And when he took a left, he got back on the path to the Father's house. At a certain point, the Father started running and he just sucked him in. He got in the event horizon. Yeah. And what was the event that happened at the event horizon at the prodigal father's house? The event at the event horizon was this wild man running towards him like a freight train, swallowing him up in his arms, good grief, kissing the guy, and just pouring over him. The event at the event horizon was the person of the Father gathering us in to the person of his Son, who was before us and after us and ever shall be, him who is and was and will be, worlds without end. Bigger than us stuff, right? Stuff before creation, stuff before we were born. But we're being sucked into it. By who? By the person of the Father, by the person of the Son, not by our own righteousness. How much power does our righteousness have to pull us in there? Not enough. Not enough. It has the power for him to die and put away the sin, but not the power to earn anything of that kind of realm. So we just keep coming. We just keep coming. And as we fail and as we know we don't measure up, we don't worry about it. We don't measure ourselves by ourselves. We keep our eye on the prize. And know that if we get close enough to him, H-I-M, them, T-H-E-M, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are going to draw me. Now, I think it's four. Yeah, chapter 1, verse 4 of the Song of Songs says, draw me, and we will run. And of course, in most of our minds, we have this picture of this dramatic young maiden in the blowing field and her running towards her beloved, and so wonderful, and it's lovely, and all the guys are going, I have nothing to do with this verse, and you know, this is ridiculous. This is like, one of those chick flicks I'm not interested in. It has nothing to do with the way I think. That's not, go with the event horizon picture then, you know, that just is a dude, right? Say it's a dude, and they're going, I want to be sucked in to the Father's embrace. I want to be sucked into the oneness that the Father has with his Son. I want to get so close that all of a sudden I can't turn back because I've passed the event horizon. And what is the event? The event is God. God is the event. He's the drawing power. He is the gravity that sucks you into oneness. He is the force that is more powerful than death, more powerful than hell, more powerful than all the sins of the world, more powerful than the Father and Son being separated because he became us. in our fallen condition. That power that breaks through that event horizon is the power of God that was like a black hole going supernova at Calvary. It just went when Jesus died on the cross. It was like the dunamis of God was released out of that death. And it just never stops reverberating through timeless ages. The power of the cross. What does it say in 1 Corinthians? The preaching of the cross is the power of God. What does Paul say in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20? I am crucified, am being past, present, and right now. I am. It's the dunamis of Calvary, of his death, of the sun going supernova on the cross, just going, I am crucified. It hit me like a wave, and it took me down with him into death, and it raised me up by another life. The power of an endless life got hold of me, and I'm no longer the same. Not because I'm good enough, because that event, that supernova sun that was released at Calvary, grabbed a hold of me. I got too close. Jesus said, if I be lifted up on the cross and go supernova, what will happen? What's the word? I will draw. There it is. The event of Calvary just began to draw all men into what? Oneness with the Son. Our life, it says, for ye are dead in Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. You're dead. Well, that's the power of the cross hitting us, killing us. I read a book, I forget who it was by, Bone of His Bone. I can't remember the author's name, but he said it's like the cross of Jesus, the death of the Son is like radium. It's just if you get too close, like if you work in a nuclear factory that has radiation, it's just you're going to get radiation. Radium is going to get in your bones, and you can't survive the radium of Calvary. It's power to kill us, to crucify. What? Our sin? Yes. How about this? All that isn't one with Jesus. Every enemy of oneness. Everything that separates us from his Son filling all things. Isn't that more his view? He died so he could inhabit us. So we could be in him. And he could be in us. And yes, he had to remove the flesh and crucify the old man and put away sin and die for the punishment. All that had to happen. He's cleaning up the house there. But the house that he's filling is this body that he raised up in himself, a new man, one with him, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. And he's filling it. His goal is fullness, not emptying out the dirt. He's seeing that he's going to inhabit us. That radium goes in there because it's destroying one creation to raise up another. It's like a nuclear bomb, just but more powerful than that, just going. And I've heard Randy share this so many different times in different books and different sermons. And then I've read other authors and I've seen it in the scriptures. Check it out. It's like the cross is like this huge nuclear that beyond release. And it's just everything's totally destroyed. Totally. Everything is annihilated is a great word. Is annihilation. Why? Just because God wants to destroy the old because he's a destructive, maniacal dictator God that just loves destruction and big bombs and nuclear radiation? No, he did it to raise up a new creation full of his Son. That's his heart. That's his plan. That's his purpose. And so the cross is a place of drawing us into oneness. To be partakers of the Son and then be in the Father through the Son. And our life is hid with Christ and God because we're dead. Because he died to destroy that old separate relationship. And all the enemies that kept us from being totally one, filled with Jesus. And entering into the eternal relationship he has with his Father. Draw me. And then what does it say? The next part of that sentence in verse 4. It says, draw me and we will what? Run. And we think about running again in our own zeal. So God's going to draw us. He's going to share something. He's going to command something. You know, draw. You must run. Whatever. You must come. You must. We can even take being married and coming to sit at his feet as a command. But listen, there's a drawing power. He draws us in. You got to be drawn. You know, commandments happen in Ecclesiastes, in the Levitical law, when you start transferring into the Song of Songs. It's your love is better than life. Your love, there's a new language happening. We got kisses of the mouth. We got your love is better than wine. You draw me. You hear what I'm saying? There's a new spirit. It's not all based on failure and responsibilities and law. It's based on I'm being drawn into somebody. Totally apart from if I'm a great person, if I'm a spiritual person, if I'm a, you know, whatever it is, I'm being drawn in to somebody. And then I will run. I just really feel the Lord wants to pause right there. You draw me, that event horizon, that being of the event horizon, that event of him pouring himself out to draw us in by giving himself in love that we might partake in oneness. My God, that draws us. And then what happens? We run. When something's sucked in to that black hole, you call it running. But running's kind of a very small way of saying, whoosh, I don't know how fast. Once it passes the event horizon, suns and solar systems are coming into the point of singularity and oneness, into that black hole, being swallowed up, completely lost. Once something comes in there, you don't know where, what the heck, it's gone, it's in. I'm in Christ, what does that mean? It means no longer I, but Christ liveth, but I new creation. It is no longer I, but Christ in me, I'm in him. He is all and in all, and then we're in the Father, and holy goodness, oh my Lord, help. I don't even know what words to use. Because it's spirit. It's spiritually revealed now. Natural man knoweth not these things. But the Spirit has to take us to what this really is. In heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, where we have been seated together, raised up together, seated together, in him, in him. What were we raised up from? A very deep death. A very deep death. That we were crucified and buried with Jesus. When that bomb went off, we went off with him. We were destroyed. We were crucified. Our life was ended. The old creation, the old world, the old humanity was destroyed. It was destroyed. It was annihilated. It was ended. At the cross, through the death of the Son. And what was raised up from that ash heap, out from that grave, it's not a revised version of you and me. It's not a beautified, cleaned up, holy and sanctified, stitched up wineskin of kind of a cleaned up version of the old us. No, it's complete. All things are new, and all things are of God. It's all, you know, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All things are new now. And the newness is of him. He's the newness. He makes it new, and he is the new. And he fills all and in all to the pleasure of the Father. For it hath pleased him that in Christ all fullness would dwell. He is the head, the firstborn from the dead. The head of his body. Him who filleth all and in all. Oh my God, these are powerful things. But these are real things. And the reality of these things overtake our carnal mind. What is our carnal mind? It's not a religious church thing. It's a mind that constantly feels separated from God instead of drawn into oneness by the power of his death. It's a mind that always focuses on the failure, then the release of death that's gathering us into oneness through his power, not our righteousness. Two different forces. Our righteousness gets us nowhere but Pharisee school. And looking down on everybody else who's being sucked into oneness because of his grace and his death. And wondering why now they're so full of an endless life and why don't I have that? I'm working so hard. And it does. No, you're way outside the event horizon. You're in your event world. Your events are your Bible studies and your knowledge and your great passion for God. And that is your event. There is no horizon there. Just a lot of pride and looking down on people who aren't as committed. But when he is the drawing power, when his death and his heart and his being becomes bigger than you on every front, your righteousness and your failures, watch out. Just watch out. What's going to stop you? What can stop you? Nothing can draw you more than God himself. No power can take you in when God released a death wave through his son that said, I'll draw what all humans into me, unto me, into me. Now that's power. That's how there's a dunamis. That's the draw. Now when they say, draw me and we will run, they're not talking about emotions and romantic feelings. And I'm just feeling so in love with Jesus today that I just want to, you know, skip through the field and seek him and love him and sing. This is being drawn in to Christ all and in all and his eternal nature. And watch out, Nellie, I can't stop it. It's got me. I don't got it no more. He got me. This is bigger than I. I mean, you can see John the Baptist, who's not even born again, going, oh my gosh, he's been sent to testify of him who would come to fill the temple, to be the one who is the light of all men. You know, he's been filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb, John the Baptist. So he's ready to prepare you the way of this dude, right? And all he can say is, you know, I'm not worthy to, you know, to take his sandal and just, you know, help him get it, whatever, so he doesn't trip when he's walking with the disciples. I'm not even worthy to do that. And he was before me, and he, you know, he'll be after me, and I have to decrease. Oh my gosh, please don't even think about me in this. My main job is to decrease. He needs to be everything. And the guy's swallowed up of it. And you go, he's so humble. He's not even born again. He's so humble. If I could just have that kind of humility and that focus that John the Baptist had. He said he's the least in the kingdom of those who are born again. Because he's not even born again. He's just John the Baptist. But we have God's son in us now. We're not just trying to be humble. We're supposed to be sucked into oneness. We're supposed to know why he kind of felt that way as a messenger. We're not messengers or analysts or observers. We are they who are sucked into oneness through the power of the cross, and it's no longer us because we're dead. And now we're existing not far away, but inside of and filled up with and true one. Oh, my Lord. I don't want to be John the Baptist. I want to be dead and filled with the Son and so swallowed up into that point of singularity that I'm not even thinking about me no more or you or who. It's just Christ, what? All and in all. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female, Jew nor whatever, all those things. Christ all and in all. I mean, we're just going, I'm not even looking down here no more. In that point of singularity, it is him. He is. He's the one. Draw me. And when I say the word run, Lord, I'm talking about your version of run. I'm talking about what God does when God draws, when the power of his death is really released and it sucks me out of me into him and it settles the matter that I am no longer alive. I am dead. He did that. I will draw all men unto me when I be lifted up on a pole and release this power through death. It's the drawing power. Christ crucified is the drawing power. A slaughtered lamb is the point of power, the release of gravity, the force greater than I that affects what? All men, all humans, all people. I will draw all people unto me, not religion, not works, unto me. Draw us and we will run. You know, I think when Mary of Bethany, I think her heart had passed an event horizon when she was coming unto Jesus. I feel like something had been released out of him that hit her like a shockwave and brought her in to his world, to his being, to his realm. I don't know how to put it, but she was aware of the room or of her sin. I mean, the woman was a harlot, I think, and said, you know, I don't know. But she had issues and sin, and I mean, she had more than enough pull to make herself aware. You know, something, if it wasn't her own sins and failures, it should have been those disciples' eyeballs and judgments. You know, there was enough pull all around her to stop the flow of running to Jesus' feet. I mean, there was so much being released to draw her away from him. So how is it that she didn't even notice it? She's not thinking about her sin. She's not thinking about the people in the room. She's not thinking about how she looks. She's not thinking about herself at all. She's been captivated. And again, that captivation isn't our emotional or Christian, you know, captivate me, I'm in love with you, captivate me. How about let the power of the cross grab a hold of me like the dunamis of God and take me down? Forget all this emotional junk. Can that be crucified too? They who are God's, Christ, have crucified the affections. Amen? Can we crucify those affections that we call the bride heart? Because they defile this thing, in my opinion. If it's just affections that aren't crucified, don't sanctify that and call that your heart for God. Put that on the cross. They who are Christ have crucified, they crucified that stuff. They didn't sanctify it, pour oil over it, and make it righteous and holy and better than everyone else in the room. They put it down into his death and said, I have one thing that will captivate me, and that's the power of the slaughtered lamb releasing his love through death, and it draws me because of his love, not mine. Yes, Lord. His affections, not mine. His passion to give himself out on Calvary, not my passion to look more spiritual than everyone else and have pro-self running through the building. Every eye on me and my wonderful love for Jesus. Guilty as charged. But there came a day when the Lord said, you need to crucify that, Kelly, because that is stinking up the house. And all the young little virgins, it talks about, you know, the virgins and all the young ones are looking at you thinking that that's Jesus. And they're starting to do the same thing. And you need to stop leading people astray with your uncrucified affections. Now, I cry, I sing, I dance, I look crazy sometimes because I love the Lord. But I'm not doing that out of emotions and things to make me look spiritual and my heart's not thinking I'm better than every. You know, that's just coming from like what David probably had when he wasn't even thinking about himself. I'm all for that. But I'm not for something that is slimy and pro-self. Do you know what I mean? There's a difference. And it can look exactly the same outwardly. That's why we don't judge one another, but we do judge ourselves. We don't judge one another because we don't know each other's hearts. It may be the Lord in one person. That's between them and God. We're not fruit inspectors, are we? It's not our place to. That's God's place. We leave that with him. But with ourselves, we know, do a little Norton search by the Holy Spirit. Is that just me trying to be the sweetest, prettiest belle of the ball? Or am I dead and being drawn by the Lamb in ways that I can't even describe? It has nothing to do with me. All glory to God. This is him. And I'm just dancing and shouting for joy because I'm swallowed up of another. Like David when he was just dancing, not even thinking about himself. That's okay, isn't it? Can look the same as the other. But it's our hearts. It's our hearts. It's our hearts. So there is a power that draws us that is so much greater than our spirituality and love for Jesus. Yes, I do believe there's a place for our love for Jesus. I do. And I believe there's a place for us to say, yes, Lord, I respond to you. That's why you gave me a free will. That's why there are certain offerings that are so sweet to you because they're free will offerings. I believe all of that has a place. But I believe ultimately it's the power of his death and his love released through death that can draw us in ways that we could never attain to in our own. And we just have to keep coming closer, draw near to me. And until all of a sudden, like Mary, we're so sucked into him, we don't even know what's up, down, here, there. You were swallowed up of another. And yeah, I think Martha's in the room, you know what I mean? Very aware of the earth and of things in the earth that are whatever. But, you know, maybe Mary wasn't aware of that because she was so swallowed up of him. You know what I mean? That she didn't notice. She just didn't notice. You know, we think I'm going to focus. I'm going to concentrate. Like something just happened right now. I need to focus. I need to. That was a good example. Focus, focus, focus. And that's good. But you don't have to do that when you're swallowed up of another. I mean, you're just like, oh, what it happened? Oh, I didn't know. Oh, my goodness. I guess I was somewhere else. Yeah, you were. You were in the heart of God. You were at the feet of Jesus. You were somewhere else, lady. You sure enough were. You know, and that's a real thing. That's a real thing. Oh, then I need to, you know, I need to attain to that. I need to work for that, strive. That's what happens when he draws you in. That's his drawing power. We just keep getting close. We just keep saying yes. We keep failing and getting up. We keep falling back and then getting back in. You know, just that's our part, isn't it? That's really all we can do, you know. The rest is him. He hath drawn me. Draw us, and we will run. And I like the fact that it says us. You know, it does say draw me, but it also doesn't it say draw us? Draw me. In other places, it says draw us. You know, there's this corporate heart. You know, it's, when it's all about me, it's very important that I am the one being drawn. It is, and there's a time, you know, my beloved is mine. You know, there's a stage of maturity where that is just the way it is, and it's okay. And there's no shame there. And you know, we have that individual relationship with the Lord, and it's beautiful, right? But we're also a corporate body, corporate wife. We're His temple together. And there's an us to that, isn't that? Raised together, seated together, together crucified with Him, buried with Him, one Father, the Lord of all. It speaks of this in many ways in the Scriptures, but that us, that together thing, you know, it's a beautiful part of being drawn. Because why? Well, compassionate ministry, we just go, because I love people. I love them all the different colors, all the different races, all the different creeds. I love everybody. So I'm just really a people person. I like that us thing because I'm a people person. It's my personality. No. The us thing comes because we're all being swallowed up of one. It's the point of singularity. No longer bond or free. See, one focus is on me or us, but it's still a people. See what I'm saying? But when He is the point of singularity, when He is what we're coming into, then we want everyone to come, but into Him. You see what I mean? It's not, this isn't as important as this. You know, and you can say, but there needs to be hundreds and thousands, and I would love more. I think David wanted just as many people to worship God there, you know, as many hearts to love on Him, as many Marys as could come and minister. Praise the Lord, right? But ultimately, It's the quality, not the quantity. It's the Him getting us, and Him being the one filling us. Him all in all. And so yeah, there's an us there, but again, it's not a distraction from Him. And that's the difference, is we get distracted from Him so easily. But oh well, that doesn't matter because I'm not going to get all caught up in me. I do that. I do lots of crazy things. I run around and think I'm spiritual, and then I overeat on cookies and think I'm terrible. And then I do compassionate ministry and think I'm distracted. And then I fail because I felt so bad about that. I watched TV and I shouldn't have. And then I just swallowed up in this world of me. And how do I get back? And do I pray? How long? And what do I say? And when will I know He's forgiven me? And when will be enough for me to get close again? And good grief. Just forget it. Just get up. On the basis of the finished work of the cross, say, I believe in You, not in me. Thank You that You died to put away this sin, that sin, and whatever crazy thing I am apart from You. And I just come on the basis of Your death, and I'm drawn in on the power of what that death died to bring me into. And you know, you can get in this crazy little weird world of so swallowed up of self. It's like there's a swallowing up of oneness, but we can just get swallowed up in this crazy wild world of self. It's just a weird place, isn't it? It's like a delusional bad dream turning into a nightmare rapidly. And Jesus says, you know, or Isaiah or the word of God, awaken! Awaken from your slumber. It's just like being asleep to the heart of God that says, that's not who you are anymore. That's not how we work on stuff together. On the basis of my death, let's awaken. Arise and shine, for your light has come. Shake off the dust. Get up and sit. What's that song we sing? And arise. And sit down. What is that? It's Grace's song. It's the verse that, awake, O Zion. Awake, O Zion.
Put on thy strength, thy beautiful garments. But that's...
Put on thy strength, thy beautiful garments. Shake thyself from the dust, O daughter of Zion.
Arise and sit down.
Shake thyself from the dust, O daughter of Zion, not sinner of Egypt. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down in what? In Him, in heavenly places in Christ. That is something that the Spirit of God inspired a prophet named Isaiah to speak as the word of God over the people who are already the Lord's. Awake, arise, shake thyself from the dust, rise up and sit down. You just kind of go, you just said a lot of confusing things. I'm running in the dust, but I'm a child of children of Zion, but awake, you know, I'm sleeping, but I'm a child of Zion, I'm in the dust, but I can sit down. But in that is saying, your heart isn't where my heart is. Your reality of who you are isn't in the truth of what I've made you when I released this death and brought you in. So shake off the dust. You know, Peter's going, I need to wash all myself. And Jesus said, just the dirt on the feet. I am the one who will cleanse you and make you clean. My death is the only thing that can do that. You can shake yourself off from the dust. You can wash those feet that are walking down here in this dirty earth and get dirty because we're not walking around in this stinky place, right? Wash off those feet and sit down. Awake to where you really are in Him based on what? His death, His finished work. He sat down, so you sit down in Him. When the high priest dealt with all the issues of sin for the people once a year on the Day of Atonement, when he sat down after he brought the blood in and paid for everything, you know, when he came out and appeared after he did that and he wasn't killed, when he went into the presence of God, you know, to offer for them for their sins for that year, that was the sign that their sins were removed, that they were accepted for another year, that the work was finished and received. And when Jesus, our great high priest, once and for all through his own body, dealt with all these enemies of oneness and put them away. When he came out from that death, ascended and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, he was saying to us as our high priest, it's finished. And the offering of myself in the eternal spirit, better than the blood of goats and bulls, was received. You are cleansed. You are one. This is your sign. I am your sign. Arise and sit down. Shake off the dust. I did it. It is finished. You are in me based on what I just did as your great high priest, as your offering, as your substitute. I mean, all of those things. And we look at him and we believe. We look at the great high priest who's sitting down and the work is finished. And that's why he comes into the Song of Solomon singing, because he's going, it's finished. I was accepted by the Father and you were in me and it's put away not just once a year but forever. So I'm going to sing right now. I'm joyful. I'm excited. This is good news. How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those who publish this reality. And so, you know, it's a person. It's what he does, what he did, who he is, how he is. And as we continue to just come, despite ourselves, not based on our righteousness, not based on anything that is us, but everything that is him, then we will be drawn. And as if we keep coming on the basis of him and not us, keep getting back up, keep believing the good report, keep shaking off the dust, keep looking at him instead of ourselves, we're going to keep getting closer and closer until all of a sudden that drawing power is just going to get us. We're not going to notice the Martha in us anymore. Because the hymn will just be grabbing our heart in. We just keep soaking, keep coming, keep choosing, keep saying yes. And before long, it'll be bigger than you. It'll be the hymn. It will be the Father's embrace. It'll be the Son taking you into oneness. It will be his death drawing you in a power so much greater than anything any human could ever offer up to God or give to him in their own strength. Amen? So let's just pray and believe for that to be the force behind the movements of God in our body. Amen? Lord, we just say yes, but we say yes to you. We say yes to the power and the drawing power of your death. We say yes to forgetting about ourselves and concentrating on you. We say yes to little choices when we fail to not get swallowed up in the dirty earth and the regrets and the fear and failure mentalities that will make us just go further away from the event horizon of your heart. And Lord, we believe, Lord, that you are the power in your death. You have released, you have done it. The work is finished. We look to you and we believe. We look to you and our faces are radiant. We see you, not ourselves, and we're brought in closer to the place we already are. Lord, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say. I just know this is so powerful, that you are so powerful in your being, that what you've done in this great death is so powerful, that the truth of what was accomplished through that death is so real. Oh, Lord, it already shook the whole earth. It shook down a whole humanity. It's already done it. Oh, that we would see it. Oh, that we would come in. Be truly captivated. Let it happen, Lord. We say yes. Not in our own righteousness or even our own love, but on the basis of you. We say yes on the basis of your death. Yes on the basis of your heart before time. Yes on the basis of your desires. Yes, Lord. Even so, come, Lord. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Even so, Maranatha. Come, Lord, come. Be released. Be released. May people be drawn to you, not to us. May people see you, not us. May you be the all and in all that melts our hearts, fills our temple, and goes back up to the Father with such joy and fragrance and love. Father, we don't ask these things in our own name. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. We ask it in his name because this is his heart, to bring many sons to the Father. So we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.